Fine. All right, ladies, last week while you were gone, while the cat's away, we did hear that, okay? And I mentioned that to you. All the kids were here. They were dressed. They were in clean clothes. Their hair was combed and buttons were all buttoned and they were happy. They were very well behaved. So they were on time. So anyway, that was good. But ladies, last week what we did, people have been asking about this. So we did it. Last week we taught the entire book of Revelation in 40 minutes. It was good. Yeah, we did it. Okay. We continued to look at a little mini-series we did starting at Passover, looking at the Lamb in the plan. Looking back, we asked the question, when did that start? When did the plan begin? We found it was before creation. Before creation? That's a long ways back. Okay. And when does it end? We found that it doesn't. It goes to eternity future. And 29 times in the book of Revelation, Yeshua is called the Lamb. He's called the Lion a couple of times and the King a couple of times, but it's the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. We saw that. We saw that in heaven, he's forever the Lamb. The cost of our salvation is always before us. However, in heaven, he's also the Lion and the King. We're going that way today. So, at the opening scripture had to do with the second coming promises. At the return of the King, it'd be a great movie title, wouldn't that? The Return of the King, I like it. Okay. He will establish a kingdom on earth, ruling, we know the place, Jerusalem. He will rule from, that's going to make a lot of people unhappy, isn't it? Look at the news. Jerusalem is the center of the world. Wait a minute. Whose is it? He's the king. He's a Jewish king, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? Yeshua the Messiah. He'll be sitting on the throne of David. Jewish concept. Fulfilling the Davidic covenant that has not been fulfilled yet. He will do that at his return. In the book of Revelation, we see the staging area. The staging area for the beginning of his descent to earth. That's kind of cool, isn't it? And John, who wrote the book, was whisked into the future, and he's seeing the event as it's happening in the future. And guess what? He saw you there. If you're a believer, you were there. Unless, of course, well, we'll talk about the rapture and rupture stuff in just a minute, okay? But you're involved in this. It's not like, great movie. No. Stay right behind the white horse, okay? Some good advice today. Yeshua foretold it in his teachings. One of his five major sermons to his disciples had to do with the second coming and his predictions. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We're going to look at a couple of spots in this today. Verse 29. Okay, this has to do with a segment of his coming. Immediately, now look at this, because we're getting back to theology in a minute. After the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Things are bad. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is not good. Sort of. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's an interesting verse because he's quoting Zechariah there. Okay? And I'll tell you why part of the mourning takes place. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And right there he's quoting Daniel about the verse of when the king comes, that's how he comes. He's tying those two together. The mourning has to do with, when you read Zechariah, it's the Jewish people see him and recognize him. It's like, it is Yeshua. It's like, oh no. Ugh. Okay, there's a bit of, oh man, we missed it. We had the info and we missed it. Well, not all Jewish people, huh? Like you? Well, anyway, and then he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. With the great sound of a trumpet. Okay. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. more on this in a moment. But he said after the tribulation. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. That's when you have the event of the return. Later in Matthew 25, talks about that one of the first things that happens is judgment. The sheep and the goats. Okay, sheep and the goats. Well, that's the prediction. Let's look at the event. Turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Now, we didn't go to this verse last week, so ladies, this is new for everybody. Revelation 19, starting with verse 1. After these things, what things? Well, chapters 1 through 18. So you got to read the whole book, okay? It's a great book. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, by the way, keep in mind that if you're a believer, you're participating in this event. Okay, it's participation. I mean, this isn't just pages. This is not like a movie. This is reality future. Hasn't happened yet. But today we'll tell you the right theology about this stuff, okay? We'll get right, dead right. He heard this multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, that kind of implied some bad times. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Again, they say, hallelujah, and her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the sound of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, this is, by the way, it's loud. Do you get the impression it's loud? Okay. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad. This is a place of gladness. And rejoice and give him glory. This is a great worship service for the marriage of the Lamb, not the King, the Lamb. See, the Lamb keeps showing up. The Lamb. The cost of our salvation is emphasized in eternity. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the believers. God doesn't forget what you do. Okay? And he said to me, write, and he's writing the book of Revelation, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, don't do that. I'm your fellow servant. And he was kind of probably glowing and dressed nice in white stuff, okay? And John's in awe. He says, don't do that. I'm a creation too. I'm a fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God. That's interesting. Because again, the instructions, like back to the Shema, we believe in one God. And yet they were worshiping Yeshua. How does that, well, okay. Again, one of those things that ties it all together on how he has revealed himself. Worship God. That's a great, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. That's the one. He who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. War? Yeah, there's a little, he has to end one when he comes back. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Whoa. And his name is called the Word of God, John chapter 1. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Clean. Isn't that nice? Followed him on white horses. You guys got to get your theology straight. You need to be taking horseback riding lessons now. Okay? It's too late then. It's like I can't, you know, come on. You have to get prepared. We can probably start a whole cult based on some of these verses, okay? The horseback riding end times movement people, okay? Your white horse is bigger than my white horse. That's how they get started. Verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That's the word. And with it he should strike the nations, And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Who rules them? He does. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, and here it is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He might be the lamb, but he's the lion, and he's the king. And when he comes, that lamb ends the war, okay? And it's done. He said, that's it. That's it. We're done. Okay, I'm taking control. I'm taking over. Well, there you have the staging area at the beginning of the descent for the second coming in the book of Revelation. Now, back to Matthew 24 and 25, what started all this talk, and it continued at the last Seder, was the disciples' question. And he says all these things about the second coming. And they are like you and I. My question would have been, when? Can you give me a date? Okay, when would this be? When? That's a good question. I mean, I would ask that today as a disciple. Okay, when? When? So I guess that's my question right now to you. When? When is it? We can sing that song. I knew that song. Soon, she says. When? Well, you know, the when has produced countless books, hasn't it, that you have bought and made people rich. All right? Movies, seminars, conferences on end times, on prophecy, arguments, denominational splits. Seriously, denominational splits over the rapture, which we're going to bring up in a minute or two. Okay? And, you know, in broken fellowship with people. I'll tell you about a couple of them in a minute. But there's countless charts. We could put charts all around the room and timelines and use laser pointers and hear about those things. You've been to those, right? You've been to those meetings. You have, I know. I have, too. I've held them. I've done all this, all right? I can do that, okay? And in this room, in this very room, and I'm not a prophet, all right, there are differences in perspectives, isn't there? And differences in understandings about prophecy. There are the wrong ones and there are mine. So you just have to get that right away. Come over here. Okay, there's the wrong ones, which, and then there's mine, which are the right ones, okay? And Luann, we want to be in rightness all the time. So just know that. I do too. Okay, so one of those things, those perspectives, being the order of the events on the charts, the order and timing of those events concerning the second coming. Great debate is over the order. This is here, this is here, this is before that. Okay, all that intricate stuff, right? Let's talk about one of those things, the rapture. Am I going out on a limb today or what? It's not my fault. The Holy Spirit told me, so here we go. So how many of you, see, this is audience participation day. How many of you are wrong? Oh, we'll get that back to that in a minute. How many of you believe there will be a rapture? Don't raise your hands. Because I know. Oh, you know, there's these Jewish questions about, wait a minute, okay, now hands would go up to that one. And if I say, I mean, if you don't, hands would go up. Well, okay, but let's take the ones about the hands that do go up, those who believe in rapture. Well, then I have another question. Well, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? See, we take that segment, and then we carve it up a little more. And there's a rightness about that. There's a right of the three, there's a right one, right? Because you can't all be right. And so you can all be wrong. Think about that. You can all be wrong, but you can all be right. So then we carve that up. Well, I'm going pre-trip, okay? Now listen, you have to think in terms of all these people that fight over this. Okay, you start off by they're in agreement on one thing. The agreement is that there will be a literal, physical second coming to earth. And that was in our bylaws, by the way. Okay, we believe that. His return will be real, physical, actual. He will show up in person, not a ghost. He will come in person. But they start fighting over the timing. And no, it's before the tribulation. No, it's in the middle. Oh, no, it's at the end. But the point of it is he's coming physically. Okay, now, I know teachers, and so do you. And I'll name names, but so far I haven't had gifts yet today, so I won't name names at this point. But you know them. They teach that if you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, let's go to that one, that little area, you're not saved. I have heard that. You are not saved if you do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And you've heard these people. You have heard these people I'm mentioning on the radio locally here. Maybe you haven't heard them say that. I have. I've been in meetings where they have said that with great authority. And you see, the concept is this. You will not go up at the rapture, if there is one, okay? Because you teach, by saying that, you teach the Lord is delaying his coming. And the Lord said, if you teach I'm delaying my coming, you're in big trouble. Therefore, if you don't believe he's coming to the pre-trib, you're teaching he's delaying it, and you can't be saved. And I heard this, and it's on tape, okay? So, this is serious stuff. That's why it causes all this. I know leaders, and so do you, who teach, do not fellowship with other believers. Now, these are believers we're not to fellowship with who don't hold that view. Okay, I've heard that. When I was 18, the youngest child that the best mother in the room gave to me at age 6, was having some problems with the concept of time. And he asked me, in the war, which side was I on? Thinking, what war? He says, you know, the Civil War. That was the first case of child abuse in the family. Anyway. Right there. Okay. When I was 18, a long time ago, I what was neat about my spiritual life was instantly, the Lord had me in a place of phenomenal rightness. Luann, where are you? Okay, phenomenal rightness with missions and then the Great Commission and evangelism. And we immediately set out to do missionary work in Mexico. And what do I know at 18, right? What do I know? I knew how to lead someone to the Lord, and it works. Okay? So, we went on a trip. We're taking kids down, high school kids, to proclaim Yeshua as the Messiah, to hold evangelistic meetings. This is good stuff, okay? One of the pastors who wanted to send his kids asked me a question, because I kind of looked like a leader or something, okay? And he said to me, are you pre-trib and pre-mill? And I didn't have a clue what he's talking about. I can tell by his body language that he was. So I said, sure. I didn't know what it was. Okay? So he comes. But he left shortly, not because of that, but because then he found out to his shock to discover that actually some of these teens actually spoke in tongues. And so he couldn't handle that one, so he left. Even though those kids were pre-trib and pre-mill, but nonetheless, you see the little problems we get into? They're all believers, but over some things that aren't so, you know, boy, I can just see the Lord shaking his head sometimes. Wait a minute, now you're not going to send your kids to evangelize people in Mexico because of how they pray, usually alone? And so, see how Satan does this stuff? Some of you have seen divided and heated panels at our regional conferences over the rapture a couple of years ago. Some strong things were said. The sentence began by saying, if you believe the Bible, now see, when I start with that one, whatever's next, you better agree with me, right? You set it up to where, if you believe God. Anyway, so we had some of that stuff. And so it's a subject that causes some stuff. Why? So my question is this. What position do I take? What position do I take? The right one. Yeah, okay, you guys are good. You're listening. That's good. I'm glad you're with me here. The right one, because I want to be right, of course. But little clouds are coming down now. Not the good ones, other ones. But for the sake of our teaching today, and the point I'm making this morning, you know, the right teaching, that point, we're going to presuppose, as I teach, that I hold a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial position. We're assuming that at this point in time. True or not, doesn't matter. We're assuming that for what I have to say next, because I know some of you do. Okay? I've also been in churches where the rapture teaching is used as an evangelism tool to produce great fear in people. It goes like this. This is actually the sermon outline. The Lord is coming soon. Now, this is stuff we can like start to agree with. Okay, the Great Tribulation is coming soon. This is bad. Okay, the rapture occurs before the tribulation. If you accept him, you will go up in the rapture, avoiding the tribulation. If you do not accept him, you go through the tribulation. If you accept him during the tribulation, they will chop off your head. Any questions? I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is the actual outline, okay? If you go up in the rapture, though, before they had chopping stuff, okay, you'll be having a party in heaven while people on earth face the worst possible suffering and pain and persecution and calamity, famine and death while you're having a party. So, oh, and by the way, and the Holy Spirit's been taken away too. So, would you rather be up at the party or down here? See what I mean? It's easy to get people to pray with you on that one, isn't it? Let's see. The head-chopping people go out that door. Party people on the bus. Okay, see, oh, I want the party. You're right. People use it. Okay. It's exactly what happened. And so the next point in the sermon goes like this. Since this will happen very soon, okay, wouldn't you rather be at the party than at the gallows? And then we go with the invitation, okay? All you have to do is this. When I pray, raise your hand, and then you'll be saved. Okay? Now, the good side of that is that many people did, in fact, raise their hand and did, in fact, actually come to the Lord in these meetings. They really did. Others raised their hand, didn't have a clue what they were doing. Okay? So what's wrong with that approach? There's nothing wrong if you approach it, the concept, a little bit different. But the whole thing was, you know what? We're going to get you out of here. You have no worries or problems to face because the rapture will rescue you from problems. Okay, that's kind of the concept. That's kind of what's wrong. And that's the next 10 minutes of my message, okay? Theologians in the past, okay, say that this type of teaching and evangelism is called cheap grace. That's the term, cheap grace. And before you get mad at me on this one, our Dodd statement of faith, of course I believe that, says this, that we declare that salvation is by grace through faith alone, not by works. We believe that. So what's cheap grace then? Well, okay, but there's more information about your salvation as to the consequences as well as the rewards. We tell you the rewards. We read the verse this morning. You get a mansion in heaven. Wow, cool. However, we didn't tell you about the other consequences. Okay, like when Sharon's paddling up the Amazon, the people that are shooting arrows at her, we don't tell you about that stuff, do we? No. I'm going to eat what? It's not even... Sharon needs more money, everybody. She needs more money to get her back. So, pray. Pray. I can't, in all honesty, I can't believe a more exciting experience than what she's doing. Going up to the upper Amazon to share the Lord, a messianic believer from a dot. Man, you can invest in that, huh? Please do. Anyway, the consequences. Yeshua, when he taught the whole thing. He taught the whole story. We leave stuff out, huh? Salvation is by grace through faith alone, not by works. However, when you make that decision to be a disciple, Yeshua said it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, and soon. Yeshua thought that your problems are going to get worse. He taught that. They're going to increase. They're not going to get better. We're not bringing you out of the problems of the world. We might be delivering you from certain things that are problems in your life, but those guys are going to come after you and persecute you. He taught this. It's not escaping. They're going to increase. He said, count the cost first. Count the cost. And we need to tell the whole truth to people. Okay, not just the good news, the whole news. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Okay? Jewish people know this. When they hear the good news, they start counting the cost. my family's going to kick me out, my boss is going to fire me, my rabbi's going to, you know, they know that. But for Christians who come to the Lord, it's not those same kinds of things. We need to understand this. You will be persecuted, Yeshua said. And the problem with this perspective of believing in the rapture, the problem is not the doctrinal teaching of a rapture. Okay, right now I got to tell you, that is not a problem. And by the way, just for fun, sometime if you want, I can get the charts out and I can teach all three positions, and you'll be so confused because it sounds like I believe each one. Because they're all supported with Scripture. And I can show you each one. And you go, okay, but we are presupposing the first one though. The problem is not the doctrinal position of a rapture, but a distortion of the doctrine. That's where we're going right now. So, people might say, well, does that mean I can believe in the rapture and be okay and be right? Does that mean that? Wait, hang on. Just wait. Maybe. The distortion is the teaching that says this, that the rapture will spare you from all trials and suffering and conflict and persecution because you won't be here. That works well in America maybe 10 years ago. Okay, it's not working so well right now, but that's only here. Think about this. We're not going to be here. You're not gonna, because the Great Tribulation is God's wrath poured out on a sinful, rebellious world. Not on us. We're not sinfully rebellious, are we? No. And so we won't be here for that. In Revelation, though, we see that the Great Tribulation is exactly that. It's God's wrath being poured out on a sinful world. That part is true. God's wrath poured out on an ungodly world. But no worries. We're going to be out of here. That's the term I used to hear. We're going to be out of here. Okay? Just raise your hand when I pray and you'll be out of here. But it never occurs to those teachers that the wrath of the ungodly world may just come upon us. Not the wrath of God, but the wrath of the world around us, which is happening right now, by the way. Turn your TVs on. The ungodly world being poured out, they don't like us, they hate us. They want to get rid of us, take away our freedoms. And this is all before the tribulation. We haven't got to that part yet. Or the rapture. If there is a rapture, this could happen before that. You could be greatly persecuted. They don't teach you this stuff. I am today. I am, because I think you will. Even another Holocaust is possible. Even another Holocaust is possible. So we don't want to just say, you know what, you just raise your hand, you're going to be out of here for all this. Maybe not. Because let's suppose there's a pre-tribulation rapture and you do go before the tribulation. That doesn't mean that this stuff is not going to begin to happen sooner, very intensely, and affect you directly, and all of us, especially our Jewish people. Are there any signs of this on TV? Any at all? Do you know the theology of Islam? You know the theology of Islam? There are Islamic Islamic states that proclaim that their goal is the annihilation of Israel and all Jews. This is under Islamic law. This is a huge problem. Huge problem. And more to consider. We've been in a bubble in the U.S. All right, there is horrible persecution right now going on all over the world. In many countries, torture, prison, and death because you're a believer. And we don't know about that because that's part of the tribulation. And the rapture hasn't happened. You know what? Those guys are in jail being tortured right now. That kind of stuff is happening to them, and it could happen to you. Could happen to you before the rapture. Think about it. So what did Yeshua say? Let's go to the chief rabbi here. John 16, at the last Seder, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Okay? I mean, he just plain said that. But then he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That doesn't mean you're not going to be here. That means he will be with you in it. All right? He will be with you in it. And what happens in the book of Acts? Right away. Persecution. What happens at the end of Acts? Persecution. The whole thing. Persecution. They suffered it. They suffered it. Jesus teaching on his return. In Matthew 24 and 25, we kind of started there. He divides it up into three parts. Before, during, and after the great tribulation. Before the tribulation. Let's go there. Turn back to Matthew 24. Before the tribulation. Which would be before the rapture, because the theology says that the tribulation will start right after the rapture. Matthew 24, verse 1. Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. They were impressed. And he said, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another. It shall not be thrown down. This would have been an impossible thought with the size of those stones. You who go to Israel have seen those stones. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, now he has a view of the temple. His disciples came to him privately saying, they asked three questions. Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Three questions that Matthew 24 and 25 answer. And he said to them, make sure that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, angel, right? Okay, you'll be in them. See that you're not troubled. Really? For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This is not the tribulation, guys. This is before. There will be famines. Before the famines, pestilences. That's bugs, okay? And earthquakes in various places. Happening, maybe? Maybe. This is before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. These are the beginning of sorrows, which means they're going to intensify. They will deliver you up to tribulation, and that's personal, and kill you, and worse. Oh, well, never mind. What's worse? No. What's worse? You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We don't teach that stuff when we say, okay, now come and pray and accept the Lord, and then you'll be hated by everybody. Anybody want to volunteer for this? These are his words. Okay, he's saying that just before his return, there's going to be a hatred of us who believe in him. Are you watching the news? Are you watching who are the bad people? Okay. The lies that are there about us, about us. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, and by the way, that word is Torahlessness, is what that word is. Because people don't follow God's written word, Torah. Because that will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Endures? What? We haven't even got to the tribulation yet. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 6. By the way, these are only a sampling. There's lots of other verses that say the same things. Matthew 10, 6. Oop, I think I wrote down the wrong verse. 16, sorry. 10, 16. 10, 6 is a good verse, though. Well, I love that verse. 10, 16. Behold, I send you. Yeshua is sending us out. As sheep. That's a good. In the midst of wolves. That's bad. How about if you send us somewhere else? Where, goats, maybe. No, wolves. Therefore, be wise. This is an answer to my question in 5 minutes, okay, of what do I do? Be wise as servants and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. Here's some more bad news. And scourge you. They're going to beat you. In their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it shall be given to you at that hour what you should speak. That's the work of the Spirit of God in your life right there. And he goes on to say, verse 21, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child. Who would do this? And children will rise up against parents. It's happening in the world right now. And cause them to be put to death. It's happening now when Muslims come to faith. The families turn them in to be killed. It's happening now. And you, sign up today, right? You will be hated by all. Isn't this great to know that if we join this outfit, we're going to be hated by everybody? How come nobody tells you this stuff? Well, we want to be loved, right? You'll be hated by everybody for my name's sake. And then he goes on. I mean, the whole thing was, this is before a great tribulation. He's saying the fact that you're a believer, you will be persecuted, maybe even killed. Yeshua taught to count the cost. Make sure you know what you're getting into. Count the cost. Part of becoming a disciple is painful personal sacrifices. It really is. It's going to happen all of your life. And sometimes the worst pain is from your fellow believers. You smile and say, I love you, and stab you in the back. Okay? And say, because you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I can't come to your house for dinner. Even though we both believe he's coming back physically, I'm serious. You see, Yeshua just didn't say, follow me. I wish he just said that. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. It's like the tool of death in case you need it, right? He's saying, you know what? If you follow me, that could be what happens to you. Peter, James, and John knew that. And they followed him. Why? It's worth it. You're worth it. He did it for you. Paul and Peter, this is stuff nobody teaches, and only for the sake of the tape, I'll give you the verses. I won't read them. They teach that it is the will of God that believers suffer. They don't teach us this. I'll just, for the sake of the tape, Philippians 1:29, 1 Thessalonians 3:4, 2 Timothy 3:12, and 1 Peter 4:19, and there's more. Their life had suffering. So will ours. Now, what may happen when huge, we've seen nothing yet, when huge trials and tribulations happen right here before a rapture? What will happen when there's no apparent rapture? Well, this sure looks like a tribulation, but we're all still here. What's going to happen? People are going to have weakened faith, aren't they? They say, you know, I was counting on what my pastor said, we're going to be out of here, and we're not out of here, and I'm losing my house, and I've lost my job, and there's no food, and we're sick. You said we're not going to go through this. Their faith will be weakened. Number one, I've got to tell you right now. See, I haven't told you what I believe yet, right? I've got to tell you right now, I'm rooting for the rapture. I'd like to go right now. Today would be fine. But you know what? This is a good theological point. I don't have any control over that, over the rapture, on the when, the how. No, it's all up to him. Okay, I have no control. If I did, we'd be going right now. Okay? What else will happen? Pastor, you said this. Is the Bible not true, maybe? How can I put my trust in my pastor, my teacher? These things aren't happening like they said. If there's a pre-tribulation rapture, we have this financial collapse. There's the famine. What did Yeshua say about all these things? In Matthew 24, what did he keep saying? All this is going to happen. But then what did he say? Be ready. Be ready. It's going to happen. Yeah, but what about his advice was be ready. Yeah, but we're only on this chart. Oh, really? Maybe they're this way. Are you ready? Maybe we got the wrong. That's number four. Are you ready? That was his teaching. Are you ready? Because he just might come for you early. Okay, are you ready when he comes for you? Oh, I'm waiting. We're all going to go together. Maybe not. Okay. Are you ready? Should there be preparation and planning? Preparation for what? Well, for disaster. I'll tell you what, when I'm watching the news, it's like any second now. Turn it on, it's here we go. Are you ready? What kind of preparation am I talking about? Well, spiritual. Are you ready spiritually? Physical. Well, what kind? Well, let's talk about a couple of ideas, and you can add to the list. This is not comprehensive. Prayer, number one. Be prayed up for discernment, for direction from the Lord, for wisdom, for truth. False prophets are going to rise telling you false things. Pray for discernment. I like this one. How about a renewed sense of urgency? If we really are in the end times, a renewed sense of urgency about evangelism and the Great Commission. Like, you know what? We're almost out of time. We better get this done. Let's pour our efforts into this. Sharon, thank you. And Monica, thank you. And others who are going, thank you. You could have gone on a cruise ship somewhere, but you're going to poor places. We need to hear what you know and who you know. Thank you. Early believers had a sense of urgency to get the word out, get it out right now at the cost of their lives. That was their priority. It should be ours. And I'll tell you the real reason in one final minute here. If we're near the end, we should have that sense of urgency that our message is the right one, and we're to impart that message to other people because they don't know. We need to, next point, understand spiritual warfare. Because it's not just bad people we're fighting, it's the forces of the enemy, the demonic spirits. Okay, that we didn't know about spiritual warfare. Many biblical adjectives and verbs imply conflict. Fight, resist, defend, stand, against, contend, and there's a whole list more. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. We're not going to a picnic. Once you raise your hand and ask the Lord into your heart, you're not going to a picnic. You're going to a war. You're going to a war. Ephesians 6, that tells you the armor to wear. We're to be participants in the battle, by the way, not observers. We don't go to the grandstands and watch the war. We're participants. And we're to be victorious. That's why you have the armor of God. Because it's our battle. It's our battle. We're the targets. Number four on the list, your list of getting prepared. Notice I haven't bought any guns yet on my list. Okay. Stand up for biblical values. Stand up for biblical values. Don't just let them walk all over you. Stand up for righteousness. And you do the right thing. Do what's right. Number five, know the scriptures and know how to share them with other people. Study it. Know it. Know what you believe and why so you can share it. The whole concept of discipleship, commitment, is important. A spiritual tune-up. Oh, yeah, the physical is important, too. You might be walking. No gas. You were talking about gas going to $10 a gallon? If that happens, now think about that. If that happens, we live all over the place. It'll affect us getting together. Okay? Yeshua said, be ready. Spiritually, are you ready? Are you tuned up spiritually? Are you right with the Lord? Administratively, do you have a plan? Is there a plan for your family? If all the power goes out and your cell phones don't work today, is there a meeting place where you meet up with your family so everybody knows everybody's okay? You should have a plan. Okay. By the way, the American Red Cross has wonderful pamphlets that are free on disaster preparedness that go over all this stuff that you can get for free, okay? However, in all this, is there any good news? Yeah. You know what? Here's what I believe. I believe we're on the verge of the greatest opportunity of all time to evangelize people because they will not have any hope. One of my family members has a bumper sticker that says hope, but it has our president's picture on it. All right? That's not working so well right now. They were promised hope. When it's not happening, we have what they need to hear. We know where the hope is. They will be hopeless. We can bring hope. We can bring hope. The greatest opportunity of all time. And it's not by us saying to them, by the way, if you raise your hand, you will avoid this tribulation. Man, they're in it. Right now, up to their ears. And it's like, you know what? The Holy Spirit in your life can maybe even bring peace in the situation as you go to jail. My point is, we have the hope, the hope. So can you impart it? That's the tune-up. Get ready to, because who else is going to do it? Nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. Are you ready? Are you ready? This was Yeshua's teaching. Be ready. And I'm really sorry to say that since I'm out of time, I'm not going to be able to tell you what position I hold on this. So I'm out of time. I'm out of time, so. One of my lines I forgot to read was, what difference does all this make? Because people, they take it, it's life or death. Okay, if you are ready, and that, those are the words of Yeshua, it doesn't make a difference. Because if you are ready, that's what he said to do. Worst case scenario, let's suppose you believe in like a mid-trib rapture and stuff. And so you're going to go through 3.5 years of bad stuff. And you have food and clothes, bullets, and guns, and all that stuff. Make sure you have extra Bibles and CDs of famous Bible teachers. Talk to Jerry about those. Because if you are poofed out of here, all the stuff that you leave behind, okay, with directions on where to look, where to turn, teachings, you can still influence people if that happens. So that's a part of the preparation. If you think you're going earlier than some, you can prepare for that. If you don't need it, so what? God knows your heart. But be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Okay, I'll tell you what I think. I would love a rapture. And I actually think that the best case, scripturally, is for the rapture. However, the other positions you can't build the case with scripture on. If I had my druthers, here's our problem in Messianic Judaism. When Jewish people come to the Lord and figure all this stuff out, they many times will say, I don't want to go. I want to stay and be a witness to my people. Good for them. Good for them. Because in the book of Revelation, we see this 144,000 Jewish men evangelizing, doing wonderful things. I want to be with those guys. Well, that's an awesome concept. Nothing wrong with that. If you're right, if you're ready for anything. So I don't know what's going to, it's not in my control. But I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's all stand.